Navigating financial honesty before marriage.
Well, that's all. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. That helps Jade mm-hmm. and I mm-hmm. in trying to encourage you. Because this is less about him lying about the finances. This is just about him lying. So we've got money problems. And you guys are about ready to tie the knot. When is the big day?
We haven't really set a date, to be honest with you. I've been comfortable with just the engagement the way that it is. And I want things to be more stable.
All right. So how can we help you? So we've got a good idea of what's going on, and I'm troubled. If I could play Big Brother for a moment, I'm concerned because this is a real problem. We know that financial issues cause a lot of marriage stress. Number one, it's well documented, and then number two, there's dishonesty here, and so I'm very concerned. So how can we help you best today? What can we do?
Well, I mean, I obviously don't expect any type of relationship or marriage counseling. I do know I'm good with money. I think everybody can always be better with money. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is to be able to get him to sit down and to be completely honest about finances in general. No matter how bad it is, we really need to get to the root of the problem and to be able to sit down and look at his finances, my finances.
I agree.
And to try to be able to rectify.
What happened when you confronted him? Because and depending how the confrontation went, it feels like that would have been a time to kind of come clean with everything. Did he not? What happened when you confronted him?
When I confronted him and he knew that I heard the conversation on the phone, I tried to sit and Google in front of him what deferments were and what forbearances were, just to educate myself.
Because you weren't sure.
Figure out exactly. Yeah, and if I'd have tried to figure out what he was actually doing and what his plan was. And when I started reading off and trying to figure out whether forbearances is added onto the back of your loan, to the end of your loan, uh-huh. or if it's a balloon payment, and I looked at him and I said, well, forbearances say that you have to be 4 months behind. I said, you just said you were a little bit behind.
And what did he say to that?
He said, no, I don't want to be that far behind at all. Well, then there was another lie. He was already 4 months behind.
Okay, so let me ask this, because there's two things that I'm sensing going on. Number one, your boy was caught in a lie. And you probably came in hot and heavy. I would too. Like, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have. I would have been like, say what? So I understand that you probably came in there really strong. And so for some personalities, that's like shutdown mode. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, I like the cartoons. So he might have just been trying to get through the situation, which is probably why he wasn't giving more information. That's thing number one. But did you guys come back later on in calmness and be like, okay, let's sit down and talk because here's what's gone on. And when that happened, what could you derive from that? Because it is possible people don't always know when people don't know what's going on with their money and they get behind. Sometimes they're still like, okay, what's going on? How many months in it? He might not even understand it. So have you guys sat down now calmly to talk through everything that's going on?
We have a few times, yes. It's been little conversations, and when it kind of gets a little bit more heated, we step aside a little bit and take another day and then sit down and look at it again mm-hmm. so we both don't get so upset mm-hmm. or he doesn't feel attacked mm-hmm. or any more ashamed, mm-hmm. and he says he feels like a failure.
Okay. So you guys are talking about it, and it kind of does. I mean, you can jump in here. It does kind of sound like what I would expect a situation like this to sound like, because contrary to popular belief, money stuff is not a light switch. Like it's not one conversation and over. It does tend to spread into many conversations that have a life of their own, because the truth is he has made a mistake. I'm not trying to sugarcoat that, but there's a lot of shame around the choices that people make with money. And so it can take a while to really be able to talk about it in a way. And I think what you're saying seems right. You talk about it a while, when it gets too hot and heavy, you cool it down, you come back to it later. Like that, what you're describing really does sound like you're on the right track. And what I would be listening for is, as long as you don't feel like he's still hiding things, mm-hmm. then I think that you're on the right track. And this is just something that you guys are going to uncover, and it's going to be a continued journey.
Yeah. However, I agree with all of that, but I think this ought to be premarital counseling.
Yeah. Yes.
Because you actually need a professional who can help you navigate his feelings. His feelings are very real and, as a result, very powerful. In other words, there's a lot of shame. What I heard is he's ashamed.
Yeah.
And he needs to know that you aren't judging him. He needs to know that you aren't holding an ultimatum over his head. but that you don't feel safe because of the way he does money. And this is about us moving forward, having a healthy and prosperous marriage, not what you've done now or what you're dealing with. I'll help you. Mm-hmm. I'll dive in going forward. Hey, babe, I'll handle the finances and you don't have to worry about it because it's my thing. It's my jam. Mm-hmm. Like that has to be facilitated through a real marriage pro. And yeah. I could not recommend. I think your next steps are, hey, we're doing this for us so that there's no judgment. Sit with me in there. They'll keep me in check so that I don't shame you.
Facts, yeah.
Come at it that angle and just say, please do this for us. And it's going to be okay. Hey, no shame, no nothing, no condemnation. I think that's the play, but I do believe that this is premarital counseling. This is not a money issue right now. It could be, but it's actually not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I would do that. So thanks for the call, Darlene. Thanks for trusting us. I think it's going to be okay if you approach it that way and you guys stick through the therapy. Quick break. We'll be right back. This is The Ramsey Show.
I've been doing this show for over 30 years, and some of the saddest calls I have taken are from situations that are completely preventable.
Yeah, and what's so hard is I feel like one of those, especially the ones that I'm like, oh, it's terrible, are people that call in and their spouse has passed away suddenly, and they don't have life insurance. We actually took a question of a lady, and she had three kids, pregnant, and husband didn't have life insurance, and and I'm like, I can't even imagine. Or even if it was opposite, right? If a mom passed away, there's a dad with kids and trying to figure out, how am I going to afford childcare? How do I outsource some stuff that maybe she was doing? Like, and it just takes the grief and the sadness of something like a sudden death to a whole new level. Like when you have to think through, how am I going to pay my bills?
How am I going to eat next week?
Yeah, the middle of all that grief. Like, it's terrible. And so life insurance is the one thing, especially as a mom with three little kids, that I'm like so big on for people to get because it's inexpensive. Xander is the place that Winston and I actually get all of our life insurance. And we keep re-upping it because I'm like, I just want it there. Like, there's something about that safety of knowing that you have money if something suddenly happens.
And it doesn't cost much because Xander shops among a gazillion different companies. It doesn't cost much. You just have to admit that someday you're not going to be here. You got to say it out loud, and you got to say, I'm going to say I love you to my family by taking care of them and taking the time to put this stuff in place. The cost of a stinking pizza.
It really is. So that is one thing to do, to say I love you to your family.
So we've used Xander for all of our family's needs for insurance for many years, including, of course, term life insurance. To get a free quote, go to 800-356-4282. That's 800-356-4282, or go to Xander.com.
Navigating debt and building savings, a journey to financial stability.
And so I had to do the same thing. I had to go, here's the thing. I'm in $460,000 of debt.
Right.
My way and my instincts have not served me well up until this point.
But was there, okay, but I also know you. You're probably one of the most principled, convicted people I know, and that's a compliment.
Yes.
So what changed? Was it something that Sam said? What made you finally go? And I know you just kind of said it, but
There was an I've had it moment.
What was
so
it?
The I've had it moment was because we didn't have the $1,000, because we were trying to put out fires as they came, we weren't making as much progress as we should have been making. And not having that extra little bit of money when unexpected things come up, I just felt like we were taking, you know, two steps forward, one step back, just going very, very slowly. And I just remember one time just being like, pull the car over. Like, I can't, we've got to figure this out. And when we did that, we kind of looked at the baby steps, and it was kind of like an audit. It was like, okay, what are we doing versus what the steps tell you to do? And what we found is there were a lot of inconsistencies, and the $1,000 emergency fund was one of them. It was like, okay, you're supposed to have $1,000. We didn't have that. When you budget, you're supposed to have a cushion line item. We didn't have that, because I was like, $0, zero-based budget is $0 in the account. I felt that. Like,
yeah, sure.
And so these are the things that we do, especially when you have a lot of debt, especially when you're trying to go quickly. You kind of think, that doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
And all you see it as money that you could be spending. But I'm telling you, Catherine, the $1,000.
Very personal answer there, which is powerful.
Yeah.
You felt her.
I did. Yeah. And I also understood the third part of this, which is so many people struggle with saving. If you've never been a person who has had savings, or you've never been able to make it stick, right? You put it in and then you pull it out. it feels like you'll never be able to do it.
Yeah.
But if you just take that money, you set it aside, you put a lock on it, you will find that it's a savings is a muscle that you build. Mm. And you're probably right now just, you don't have any muscles. And so you have to just work at it and you get stronger and stronger. And that becomes something that you do become good at.
Love it. Really good question. Better answer. Love it. Let's go to Austin, who's now joining us in Salt Lake City. Austin, how can we help?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
I had a question for you. My wife and I are currently on baby step two. We do have two cars that we have, about between the two of them, about $20,000 on one and just under $10,000 on the other. We're looking at downsizing right now just to help put more toward other debts and kind of get rid of those big payments. But I know on one of the cars, we're probably about $3,000 to $4,000 upside down in it. And so I'm trying to figure out, we do need two cars with our kind of work and my kids' school situations. We really do need two cars to survive, but mm-hmm. I don't have the cash to, like, if we were to sell my wife's car, I don't have the cash to cover that mm-hmm. that upside down amount, that $3,000 to $4,000 to get the lien. So what's the best way to go about this? I guess, is it
well, quick question.
To keep that car? Or?
How much do you owe on that car?
So hers is between 19 and 20. I don't remember the exact amount. I think it's like 19.4
mm-hmm.
on hers.
Is it a good car?
It's a decent car. Yeah, it's a pretty nice SUV that we like. We have three kids, so it fits all the kids and all the stuff that we need. And
what is that the one that's upside down?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. The one that's upside down.
What other debt do you have?
We do have about $60,000 in student loans as well. Other than that, we don't have anything else. We're currently renting, so we don't have a mortgage, no credit cards, nothing else.
What's your income?
My main job salaried at 75, and then I have a couple side gigs that bring in about $5,000 to $10,000 a year.
Okay, so every month, what do you see? Like on a normal month, what do you see on the paychecks?
My direct deposit's about 54, and then between my side gigs, it really fluctuates month to month. But we've currently budgeted at that 5,400 okay. amount because my other side gigs are pretty, like, it's not consistent. It's kind of up and down, and it ebbs and flows. So,
I mean, how quickly using the side gig? How quickly, if you really said I'm going to focus in on the side gig, how quickly could you save up $3,000 since you're only mm-hmm. since your budget is based on the 5,400? How quickly could you do that?
It'd be probably 2 to 3 months.
Okay. And what is the side gig?
I'm an architectural drafter, so I work for a home builder. That's my full-time gig, designing house plans. And then on the side, I do it as well.
Okay.
Jade, I don't know where you're at, but I'm leaning towards, I think you should just pay this car off.
I definitely think that you could pay it off. The only thing that's throwing me a loop is the $60,000 in student loans. If it was just the cars, I'd be like, say less, like pay them both off. The $60,000 student loans is what's bothering me. Can I dig a little deeper and ask you, what's the payment situation? Are you on the save plan? There's a lot changing with student loans right now, so I just kind of want to know where your head's at on those.
Yeah, great question. So currently we are on that save plan, but mm-hmm. with the uncertainty of like whether that's actually going to be approved or not. So all of mine and my wife's loans are currently in forbearance. So we're at zero interest, zero payments right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't been paying on them for the last few months to put more toward our car loans and do that. So that's currently where we're at. But I'm also like, I don't want to just let those sit there without making payments on them. But we are starting with those smaller car debts as uh-huh. well to get rid of those. So
yeah, the student loans, those feel like a major risk right now. Save plan, a lot of people have been on that to kind of curtail a higher payment, but there's a lot of talk about that being rolled back and the payment amount mm-hmm. being due going up. And so I would hate for that to catch you off guard. For that reason, I could be interested in downsizing the lower car or the $20,000 car. What's the $10,000 car? What type of vehicle is that?
It's a sedan. It's a Subaru Legacy that I drive, and I do. So that's my commuter car. I commute mm-hmm. about 35 minutes every day. I could sell that for pretty much what it's worth. I'm not upside down on that one at all, but I would need something. So I don't necessarily have the cash to go buy another cheaper vehicle.
Yeah,
right now,
I wouldn't get rid
so
of that.
That's another question.
I would not get rid of that one. Here's where I'm at. I like that you're using your skill set to make money, like extra money on the side, but it feels like it's a slow go. I wonder if there's something else that you could do that you can make a lot more money a lot faster. Because I think that if you're going to hang on to this $20,000 car, you've got to have a number in your head that you're committed to. Like every month,
yep,
we're bringing in an extra X amount of dollars. So it's probably you and your wife sitting down. How many kids did you have again?
We have three.
Three. And what are their ages?
Six, three, and one.
Okay. Whew, Lordy. All right. I think it's you and your wife sitting down and saying, honey, what margin of time do you have? And looking at the other and saying, okay, well, what margin of time do you have? And then putting your heads together and say, this is the amount of money that we're agreeing on that we need to bring in extra every single month so it's steady. And if you can do that, then you can keep this car. But just know those student loans are waiting for you in the wings.
Yeah, that's right. But they can do this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is doable. Mm-hmm. So you got options there. I like it. All right.
Navigating career choices and financial stability.
I think it's got an emotion on it that he doesn't like, and I don't think it's going to break through. This is my hunch. But if you come at it and say, hey, this is going to allow us to spend like you want to spend, but still we make the progress in these areas over here. And I think by doing what Jade told you, so it's everything she said, all I'm saying is the way you couch it, this isn't manipulative. It's just speaking to his desire to live.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to live.
There you go, Ken.
I hit the nerve. That's why you're laughing.
Well, yeah, because we take one vacation a year. We're not travelers, but we do enjoy a vacation. But
I think that I think you're doing better than you think you are, because when I plug your numbers and I go, okay, she's 60, he's 68, he's gonna bring in 6,200 for, you know, forever until this point on. If you continue that on for the next 7 years, you're gonna have what you're doing right now with the investing that you're doing right now. You'll have almost $1.4 million. Right. So if you just lived off the interest, which was $140,000, I'm not accounting for inflation. That's far more than you're earning now. So you don't even have to live. You could live off of $70,000 and be exactly where you are now. You are good, mama.
Yeah. And
you've
just meet him in the middle. The budgeting is for planning and intentionality, but give him some space. Give him his, you know, fund. Whatever that is, you guys put it in the budget, and that way he's got some margins, and you guys are okay. Fun stuff, really fun call. All right, we got to take a quick commercial break because got to pay them bill.
Hey, you guys, health insurance costs are only moving one way, and that way isn't down. And if higher costs aren't enough, the wait times to see your doctor are longer, and it's harder than ever to get anything approved through the bureaucracy. So if you feel like the system is working against you, try a biblically based alternative to health insurance, Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a health cost sharing ministry that's helped hundreds of thousands of families like yours take care of over $11 billion in medical bills since 1981. CHM has also helped them stay true to their values and avoid miles of red tape. And CHM support goes far beyond meeting financial needs. They also help meet spiritual needs. Members become part of a family who will pray with them and for them when they experience a medical event. So listen, y'all, there's a better way to take care of healthcare costs. CHM programs start as low as $98 a month. So learn more today and join at chministries.org/budget. That's chministries.org/budget.
Welcome back to The Ramsey Show. I'm Ken Coleman. Jade Warshaw is with me. We're here for you, America. 888-825-5225. Let's go to Newark, New Jersey. Jeremy is there. Jeremy, how can we help?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. How are you, sir?
Better than I deserve.
Oh, I like that. I should use that.
Yeah, right? okay, so basically, I'll try to make it quick. Right now, I am working a job in construction. Last year, I made about $150,000. But I have an opportunity, I guess you could say, in the same field, the same construction. But the thing is, I'll be making significantly less money. I guess in the first couple of years, but then it'll kind of even out, and then I'll at some point make more after, I think, like 4 years.
Wow.
The new position would, yeah, the new position would be a lot less labor intensive, a lot easier on the body.
Okay.
People that are in my role right now in my current company, maybe the guy who's been here the longest has been there for like 10 years, maybe. The people I talked to in the other position have been there for like 30, 40 years.
Okay, so it's going to be easier on your body as a pro. Looks like it has more longevity as a pro. A 40% cut is not a pro. Mm. And
no.
And I'm a guy that has entertained things like this before. But 4 years. So to me, the question and the only question that I need an answer to on this is, can you absorb that? Is it taking you to a different state or cost of living? Or you've got so much margin in your life that 40% won't really be obvious in a painful way? That's what I need to know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What can you sustain that?
I would have to cut a lot of stuff, which I'm perfectly fine with doing myself.
Are you single?
I'm not single. Me and my girlfriend have been dating for a few months now.
Well, you're single as far as I'm
concerned. Because she's used to it.
Right. My point is you're not in a marriage situation where, and you don't have kids, right?
Right.
Do you have debt?
I'm sorry?
Do you have debt?
All I have is a car loan that I actually got once I got this job. I got a little excited making mm-hmm. the extra money. So mm-hmm. before this job, I was making maybe like $40,000 to $50,000 a year.
Okay, so this was a big jump for you, a major jump.
So what are you making now?
Well, my salary, I guess, if I were to work 40 hours a week, would be around 120. I guess last year I did a little bit of overtime, so I made 150.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to tell you that you need to be looking for other opportunities that don't require a 40% cut. I understand the physical toll on the body. I do get what you're saying there. I see the longevity play. If I were in your shoes before I did this, I would be making sure that there were no other better options. And I don't believe that that's the case, Jade. I just don't think that's the only option he has.
I'm just trying to understand. So you got this gig that it's paying more than you were making, and you got excited, got the car. This other thing came along. Were you looking for something else? And if so, what was the main driver? Was it the physicality thing that you were like, I can't keep doing this to my body. I got to get out of this. Is that what happened? Or did that just happen to be, part of this?
Well, I work in construction. I'm an operator, right? But I'm not like running. I'm not running in like an excavator or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm more operating like a truck.
I'm just getting what I'm trying to get at is for you to tell us why you want to leave this job. Because if you can't articulate a clear reason, then what's the point of leaving it?
Yeah, I don't feel like you're in an emergency situation is what she's getting at. Like this feels like.
No. It's definitely not an emergency situation at all. It's more like, what can I see myself doing in the long run? It'll be part. Oh, so I should mention also, this is a union job. It'll be part of the same union, just a different kind of like sector, I guess you can say.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I am never going to tell somebody to take a 40% pay cut and sit 4 years in that pay cut to get to move up in a union. It's too risky. I'm not going to put my future in the hands of the union.
Navigating student loan repayment and financial peace.
I think you do need to talk about it because what would be, are both of their names on it or just yours?
Well, no, these are just parents less loans for me. It's just my name.
Okay, because if they don't pay theirs, then it's still affecting you, right? And at that point, it's like, well, what was the point of you even paying your part if they're not paying their part, right?
Well, theirs are separate from mine.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying that they had agreed to pay part of the Parent Plus loans.
Oh, no. We split everything from the beginning. Their loans and I have mine.
Okay, I see. Well, in that case, yeah, full speed ahead on paying off this $87,000, clearing your name on that. It's going to free up so much more income in your month-to-month, mental space, you're going to have a lot more peace. And then you can really see clearly and go, okay, what to do with this $40,000? The good news is it's tucked away. It's going to continue to grow. It's not a lot of growth, but with that, with possible Social Security, you've got your work cut out for you, but at least you're making steps forward. In a situation like this, there's always a measure of peace that can be acquired. So you're going from where you are now, you pay these loans off, you've got even more peace. You start figuring out long-term what you want your living situation to be, you've got even more peace. And so we're just taking it one piece at a time.
Yeah. And listen, Patricia, there will come a point where, and you got to think about selling stuff, making extra money, and you go, okay, what can I do every month? Could I make $1,000 a month in additional money that would go towards the loan, or is it 2,000? You start to play with these numbers, and at some point when you begin to deliver on this, you're going to see the momentum, and you will be able to get rid of this, and which will give you a chance to retire with some dignity. So you're going to have to be intense.
Yeah.
But this is actually very doable, but a lot of intensity over a short amount of time will get you there.
Yeah, I've tried, you know, the side hustles and
You're doing it.
You paid your car off. How expensive was that car loan you told us about?
$17,000.
Come on.
So you're doing it.
It's not like you don't have any track record here. So get your chin up, Patricia. All right?
No, I know. I've done a few things right, and I've never been one who have depended on credit cards a lot. I don't like them.
You're a good lady.
I've done a few things right along the way.
Hey, no shame in your game. I'm not kidding you. Shame will hold us back
from
breaking through stuff like this. So you're okay. No shame in this show at all for you. That's why we do this. This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey, what are you still doing here? You know the rest of the show's happening on the Ramsey Network app, right? So you got to jump over there to continue watching. You can download it for free. Just go to your app store, type in Ramsey Network. It's completely free, and I'll drop a link in the show notes to make it easy for you. So if you're watching on the app, you're in luck. But if you're watching anywhere else, this show is over for you. So jump onto the app and let the fun continue. All right. Go on now. Don't make it weird. Okay, I got nowhere to go, so you need to go. Okay, bye-bye now. All right, it's getting weird over there, guys. What do we do?